And now, the life of Mary Southern. Yesterday, Gerald Close advanced his campaign to make Mary Southern surrender her imprisoned husband's stock in the Sanders interest. He got Merlin Davis to promise to use his influence with the hospital board against Dr. John Benson if Benson refused to persuade Mary to give up. At that very moment, Mary and John were wondering just how far Proust would go. The mill people already resent her as being the wife of their imprisoned ex-leader. And Jeffrey Barton, industrialist, has had to conceal his friendship for her. Mary and John were reviewing these unhappy facts when the telephone rang, and it was Gerald Proust asking to see Dr. Benson that same evening. It is later that day. Mary has gone to visit Max in prison. Dr. Benson paces up and down in the growing darkness of his office, waiting for Gerald Proust.
Come in, come in.
Oh, good evening, Dr. Benson. Your girl wasn't outside, so I took the liberty of knocking on your door.
You mind?
No, no, of course I don't mind. I expected you, and I sent the fellow home early. You wanted us to be alone, didn't you?
Yes.
Very well, then. Just sit down here.
Yes. Thank you. It's rather dark in here.
I like the dark after a hard day's work. I find it restful.
Oh. Nerves, eh?
However, if you want more light, green lamps are just enough.
Yeah, that's better. Much better. I always like to see the face of the person I'm talking to, don't you?
Not invariably, Bruce. Have a cigarette? No offense on it. Box empty. Sorry.
Well, that's all right. I don't smoke very much anyhow. Have one of mine?
Thank you.
I always carry a few for my friends. Especially me, at that. Right?
I'm a lighter, thanks.
It would appear that all of your cigarettes are made your ashtray here. Your patients must smoke prodigiously.
What have you wish to see me about, Miss Bruce?
Well, I've come to speak to you about something rather out of the line of your professional duty, Doctor.
Oh.
It's about Mary Sanders, Doctor.
Yes? What about Mrs. Sanders?
I'm very much concerned about her. For her, that is.
Indeed.
Mrs. Sanders has been most unfortunate. The misfortune of being identified to the husband who has been convicted of a gambling charge.
Now, I caution you, Mr. Bruce, but Max Sanders is my friend. You know as well as I do that he's innocent.
That's aside from the question. Innocent or guilty, the fact remains that his conviction and its unhappy effects on his wife.
All right, all right. That's the point.
Mrs. Sanders has been befriended by a number of people, and I consider that a fine gesture on the part of her well-wishing friends. But couldn't it be that their good intentions may be defeating their own purpose?
Good intentions are their own justification, I think.
Not if they do harm, Doctor. Not if they do real harm.
For example?
For example, your friendship for Mary Sanders.
Look here, Mr. Proust, please, go on.
You must know that Mrs. Sanders is already held in some disrepute by the mill hands who practically control public opinion here in Sanders. They feel that she should not be here exercising authority over them in any way, even if in name only. After all, her husband, Max Sanders, was once their leader, and now he is in prison. In their eyes, at least, a traitor.
Well, how does that affect me?
Wait. The people resent Mary Sanders. They resent her hold on the Sanders' interests.
Yeah. Don't you?
That's not my guess. I said the people are strongly against Mrs. Sanders. Now, you are her friend. What do you think the public reaction is to that? Remember, you also rose in court to say you loved Mary Sanders, a married woman.
I did nothing of the kind, Bruce. I just supposed I loved her. For purposes of argument alone, I advanced that mere supposition to disprove a certain point in the prosecution. You know that.
Oh, well, now, you see how easy it is for an attentive, observing person like myself not to have noticed that distinction? What about this?
I don't see that has any bearing on Mary Sanders' welfare at all. If anyone would suffer by that remark I made in court, I'd be the one.
Oh, no. I knew you'd take that attitude, and it's quite wrong, as you shall see. You are a doctor in the town, the head of a fine children's clinic. People like and respect you. They look up to doctors because, they look up especially to you. You've made a splendid record here in Sanders. Splendid.
Thank you.
To the people, Dr. John Benson can do no wrong. But suppose you're seeing too much with Mary Sanders, Not only a married woman, but a woman married to the man this community has most reason to resent and hate. Will the people blame you, Doctor?
No.
It's that Sanders woman. She's making a fool of our good Dr. John Benson, the man we trust with our children, our health, our very lives. You understand, Doctor?
Yes, I see, all right.
I didn't mean to distress you, Doctor. I merely thought you hadn't viewed the situation from just that angle.
Yes. Your intentions are no doubt excellent.
Oh, I assure you that they are.
All right. Just why have you come to tell me this?
Why? Please sit down again, Doctor. Perhaps we can come to an understanding. Hey, Doctor.
Oh, can I sit here and talk to you, Max? Can't we sit together for just a minute?
No. It's prison regulations saying mix on the familiarity. Oh. Well, I guess maybe we just sort of got to talk through the screen that each other.
Oh.
How are you, Doctor?
Oh, I'm just fine, Max. Yeah. We're all fine. But you look a little pale.
Oh, me? Oh, I'm fine. I feel swell. I don't know how I could look pale.
Or... Well, maybe I imagined.
I assure you, just imagine. They feed us good here, and you get a lot of exercise. I guess maybe you're just seeing a little bit pale today. Your eyes are in pale. That one's for good.
That's for good.
So everybody's good, huh?
Mm-hmm.
How about Phyllis? Getting her treatment regular?
Oh, she'll be out of that wheelchair one of these fine days.
Oh, swell.
Say, where's Mr. Cheney?
Oh, he's moping around somewhere, I guess. You can see him before you go.
Oh, I certainly mean to. He must be awfully lonely.
Oh, I don't know. No, I had an idea. Maybe I'd ask the warden to put us together in the same cell. Cellmates, see?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't know. I'll think about some more. Might be nice at that. Oh, how's the Doc Benson? How's the old pillow really getting along? Okay.
John Benson's desk. He wanted to come down with me, but he got a phone call at the last minute. Something he's been expecting for some time.
Oh. Well, these babies keep a doctor on his toes. I'm just looking out for you and the kids and watching his practice in the hospital and all that at the same time. Don't get the doc down.
Oh, no. John's glad to be helpful to us this way. You know, dear, it's nice to have someone around like John. Someone to kind of depend on when things turn rough. Mm-hmm. And you can depend on him. All the time, no matter what happens.
Above all, Bruce, you mustn't think you're deceiving me about your motives in telling me this.
Well, Doctor, you admit that your friendship might have the effect I mentioned of on Mary Sanders, don't you?
Yeah. It just happens that there is something in what you say. Never looked at it in just that way before.
Well, then, under the circumstances, wouldn't it be the better part of friendship, really, to withdraw your friendship for Mrs. Sanders? Under the circumstances.
You've got something to gain if I give up Mrs. Sanders in the way you mentioned. Now, let's be honest with each other. Tell me, what have you got to gain?
What have I got to gain? My dear Dr. Benson, I think you do me a great injustice.
All right. Let's put it this way. Suppose I don't do what you say is for Mary Sanders' own good. What have you got to lose, then?
Excuse me, Doctor. It's not a question of what I have to lose if you don't abandon Mary Sanders, but rather of what you have to lose. Think about that, Dr. Benson. Think about that.
Yes, Dr. Benson, think very carefully about it. For Gerald Proust may well have it in his power to crush you unless you play his game under the smokescreen of being kinder to Mary.